Welcome to the Weekly Workplace Podcast, your hub for leveling up your workplace skills with a journey to success that's anything but boring. Get ready to ditch the dull and dive into the dynamic. Imagine high fives and fist bumps for triumphing over frontline challenges and confetti cannons for nailing your leadership goals. Our episodes feature interviews with industry game changers, spicy tips from trailblazing pros, and mind-blowing techniques to turn you into the office superhero you were meant to be. So, whether you're rocking the cubicle life or leading from the corner office, grab your cape and get ready to soar to new heights with the Weekly Workplace.
Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals come to find insights and inspiration for success. This week, we are picking back up on that awesome interview with Shatomi Lester Edward, our guest on last week's, talking about inclusive leadership. And I got to tell you, Shatomi, how surprised I was to get phone calls about putting together a training on civility. And I remember it almost tore like my heart apart as I'm putting this training together, because at the core, sometimes I feel like we just need to remember that we are living, breathing human beings. Mm-hmm. And so everybody has a right to be respected and to be mm-hmm. honored in their human beingness. It doesn't mean that's that right. I have to agree or disagree. That's it just right. means I'm that's a human right. being. I breathe just
and you. And quite frankly, Bree, I think it is okay to disagree.
Yes.
Because that is what generates this special place of being. Right. Yeah. I like the fact that you don't agree with me on everything that I say, because then that means I'm right about everything, or that means I don't need anybody else's opinion. And I know that that's wrong, because mm-hmm. I know that I'm not right in everything that I say and do. And so when you have that active, I think sometimes people shy away in this, and I know this is not our conversation, but people shy away with, I hate to call it conflict, but conflict. Mm-hmm. And I think having a space to be able to have that, and, you know, there's always a way in which you go about it. And that's that civility that you're talking about. But being okay with being uncomfortable should be a practice.
Right. Right. And what's so interesting is a lot of people don't realize that without conflict, we wouldn't be where we are today.
No.
As humanity.
You wouldn't have certain spaces. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You wouldn't have certain spaces. You wouldn't have certain things. You wouldn't have certain ideas if everyone agreed with each other all the time.
Right, right, right. So we need it. We certainly need it. And it's just, I think for a lot of folks, it's just maybe never having the exposure. And I know, totally off topic here, but I love talking about conflict.
I know, but you know, it's okay though, because when you circle back around to inclusivity and inclusivity in leadership, I think sometimes that is the reason why at times it's omitted or remissed, because you have people who think differently that you may or may not be familiar with, or you have different walks of life. And so when you bring that person to the table, it makes you feel uncomfortable because you're not used to their mannerisms or different things such as that. So while I know I said that it's kind of off topic as far as conflict, it's kind of right dead on, if you will.
Yeah.
Because that is sometimes why people are not brought to the table, because they come to the table with different ideas, a different perspective, a different way that we do things. My husband is not from here. At times, periodically, because, you know, we have the perfect relationship, we will disagree on how we do things or even how we say things. But you know what? At the end of the day, it all comes back to, it's just a different way in which we do it. So, for example, early on when we first were in the beginnings of our relationship, he learned British English and obviously American English, mm-hmm. right? And so I said something about getting some aluminum foil at the store. And he said, what? I said, some aluminum foil. We need some aluminum foil. He says, aluminium? I said, what? I said, no, aluminum. And he says, no, it's pronounced aluminium or something. I'm probably still pronouncing it incorrect. But so we went back and forth for a minute. I said, let's look it up. And sure enough, British say aluminum one way and we say aluminum one way, and we were both right.
Oh my goodness. idea. Now I want to hear how it's pronounced.
There's a lot more. Sometimes it's entertaining and sometimes it's not.
Yes.
But anyway, when you talk about inclusivity, you know, you have to be cognizant of the differences and be okay with being uncomfortable and understand that there are different ways of going about a solution.
Yes. Yes. And I think, you know, because my question to you was going to be about like, what are the challenges that organizations face to incorporate that? But I think we've just answered that like beautifully in the sense that like, we're not willing to maybe enter into that space of curiosity or conflict that can really prevent that understanding and even a relationship for that matter, you know, to really develop into something that can create some type of new innovation or, you know, again, high performing team. Can you provide, I guess, some examples of inclusive leadership practices even beyond what we've already discussed?
I think, if I may, it's probably intentionality.
Mm.
And if there's anything, I think that would be a big one, is being intentional. Because if you're not intentional or you do not have that intentionality, our natural instinct as human beings is just to kind of go with it the way that you know how, mm-hmm. or the way that it's always been. And so if you don't take that step of, again, being uncomfortable and being intentional, then you will find yourself doing the same stuff the same way and not getting a different result.
Right. Yeah, it gets easy to get caught up in those habits, the routines.
The routines, mm-hmm. exactly, the routines. So I think intentionality is key. And then obviously that's a close run to curiosity. But then it's also looking at your practices. And you know, if you, like you said, examples, some of those examples as far as just understanding your culture and taking a step back. And if you are getting a certain result, or if you are want a different result, what are you doing differently? Mm-hmm. And look at some of those best practices. And then also look at what others are doing. If you see an example, if you see a partner that's succeeding or exceeding in a particular area that you want to understand better, more than likely, it's because they're doing something a little bit different than what we are doing.
Yeah. So lean into that, build that mm-hmm. relationship, make those connections. I feel like, I don't know, I guess I'd love your opinion on this, but I do feel like post COVID, we got really comfortable with that whole like isolating piece. And mm-hmm. so really kind of coming back together, and I'll tell you, I know that that's been like the number one training request we've had next to EQ was team building. Like, how do we continue to, you know, rework these skills that we probably took for granted when we were all in the workplace, you know, before COVID? And like, how do we be intentional, to use your word earlier, and really developing and maintaining those relationships with people that we otherwise maybe didn't have. And I think that that's also a big piece to this.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a balance. So it was funny when I was telling you, I was listening to your podcast and listening to the team talk, I was laughing. And there was one segment that you all were talking about COVID and taking a nap. It's so funny. I'm probably leaning more towards the one that said they don't nap. Because yeah. then I'm getting frustrated because I'm trying to take a nap for 30 minutes and not being.
Yeah, Ray. Yeah, Ray had mentioned
Ray,
that.
That's it,
yeah.
Ray. That's right. Ray, I love you. I love you. But yes, I would be more like Ray. The reason why I wanted to talk a little bit on that topic is because there is a balance. So I was the person, I have to be honest with you, Bree, mm-hmm. that is, I'm an introvert by nature, but you know, I can maneuver the best, but by nature, I don't get my energy from people. And so I was that one who said, oh, I love this. I could work all day. Don't have to do. But my problem was I was working and then I was working mm-hmm. and then I was working and then I was working.
Mm-hmm.
I had to literally, so at times, just close the door to my home office and not enter it. And the reason why I bring that up is when you talk about a balance, there was the benefit of having, being around people, getting up and having those water cooler conversations. There was a benefit in being surrounded maybe on a campus and taking walks every now and then to the rec center. There is a benefit in having those in-person meetings because you could tell through somebody's body language in person that there's a different feel and there's a different reaction. But then there's also that balance where you need time to process and do your work. And so I think with COVID, it showed us that we can do certain things that we may not have necessarily done. Mm-hmm. But then there's also the respect of the balance and that in that interaction and being able to touch and feel and see people's reactions, if you will, while you're in person.
Yeah. Well, and I just want to thank you because I think that just this conversation in general is a great reminder. For me personally, I had no idea that you are an introvert, Shitomi. I never would have guessed that. But obviously, I operate very much as an extrovert. And so even in this conversation, just honoring that different perspective of I never realized from the introvert perspective what that experience was like. And so thank you for that.
No problem. I love it. I love people. I genuinely do. But I just don't get my energy from people. So after a while, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
If I were to be completely honest. And it's not exhausting from the, you know, get away from me, I don't like you. It's just, I need time. I just need time to gain my energy back. So to me, it's a balance.
See, and I was sitting at home, like literally shaking just to get out and to go and talk to people. I remember at one point I stood in my driveway and just waited for people to come out. I thought surely my neighbors will come out and I can just wave at them. And my husband's like, what are you doing? And
what's wrong with you?
So I finally gave up and I went to chase a squirrel that was in my backyard and started having a conversation with him just because I needed to have
connection. You did not go to the squirrel.
I did. He kept jumping onto and eating the bird seed out of our bird feeder. So first I went out with the broom and then finally I was like, all right, dude, well, you seem pretty smart. So what are you thinking you're going to do here? And so we just started. it was at that point, I think my husband was determined I needed to get out a little bit.
At that point, you needed to get into the office.
Yeah.
That was the breaking point.
It was. Oh, yes. Yes. Quite an experience. But look, Shitomi, I'm again, I love having this conversation with you. I want to ask you the kind of the future. And that's what this whole series, this Leadership Horizon series is really about. When we think about the future of work kind of evolving in terms of diversity and equity and inclusion, what role do you think this inclusive leadership topic we've been talking a lot about is going to play in that future of work?
I think it goes right back to the conversation that we just had as it relates to COVID and the effects of COVID. So there's a few things that COVID taught us. It did teach us that we do need that human interaction from all aspects, even from an introvert and extrovert perspective, you still need a human touch. Mm. And it also taught us agility. So look at it from this perspective, if you will. If your car's broke down, if you have health issues, but you can still function, but maybe not necessarily around folks, you can do the alternative of working from home. Mm. And so when you think about inclusivity, it's not always the typical things that you always think about, but it's outside of that. It's social, economic, it's your economic status. It's all of those things. And so when you start talking about the future and how you move forward, I think it's being intentional on making sure that you bring in a workforce that is all inclusive. And that is, then there's a hybrid balance, right? Mm-hmm. So an in-person and work from home opportunity. I do feel like that is our future. And if we don't do something towards that, you could be left behind. Mm-hmm. I do think that considering technology and the different ways in which we utilize technology is key to what we do and how we do certain things. And again, we talk about the human aspect of bringing things and people to the table. We also have to talk about the technology aspect that comes with that as well. Mm. You have to be open to new things. And even though it's different, and even though you may or may not be used to it, it still does not mean it is a taboo or it is bad, but being open and willing to learn and see how that could possibly mold an organization. So there's different aspects. When you start talking about inclusivity, there's different aspects to that, because then think about technology. Technology not only connects you or could potentially connect you locally, it connects you nationally. It can connect you internationally. That automatically engages different cultures, different habits, different things of which you would not normally be exposed to. So our future is that intentionality.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that you brought technology into it. I mentioned AI earlier, and that truly has really opened up the scope of interactions. I know there's a lot of fear that it's going to take away from human interaction, and I want to respect that. But I also have found I have learned so much through what AI can't do that made me appreciate more of my critical understanding of diversity, equity, and inclusion as a human being. That's something that AI will never be able to replicate. And so, for example, different, you know, images people are creating, and you start realizing the way it's viewing this, again, just based off of what it's been fed and the training that it's been given.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Internationally, when I was traveling, it is interesting how America or things are portrayed and how most people consume media so much, they think that a person or a thing or whatever is this until you have that human interaction. So being intentional on what is, and I know I keep saying intentional, I feel like a broken record, but really paying attention to what you put out in the universe is key. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it until I started traveling internationally. And it's just par for the course. If someone doesn't see you physically, how else are they going to perceive or mold their own story about you or whomever? Mm-hmm. And that is portrayed through social media. That's another thing, you know, when you start talking about the future, you know, how do you really lean into all these social media platforms? How do you maximize AI? I've had a conversation with a colleague and a friend just this week about AI and how that they utilize it. And they said, you know what? I genuinely, when I struggle with sending a tactful whatever response for whatever reason, I will go to AI and see and ask the question, how should I do this? And of course, you don't take it word for word. And I think that's I think that's part of the opportunity with AI, is people take it literally, and you can't. Right. I don't take it word for word, Shatomi, but it does help me frame my response at times. So it's all in how we utilize it, how we maximize it for the future and within our organizations that we serve. Don't take things at face value, and you dig in a little deeper.
Right.
That is also a part of that inclusive leadership, is not taking what you think you know.
Right. Right.
And digging a little deeper, a lot more deeper. You know, humans are humans at the end of the day. And we do have our differences, but we also have our similarities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just honoring and respecting everyone for their own, again, humanness. I cannot echo that enough. But I have loved this conversation, Shatomi. I really have. And I only have one more question for you.
Okay. All right. No problem.
One more question for you. I really value your time on this. I feel like, again, we just had this beautiful golden nugget of information. So I don't want to let you go yet. but what advice would you give to leaders? Knowing, again, you have a long-standing history in leadership and and entrepreneurship. And but thinking about those leaders who are just really beginning their journey towards creating that inclusive workplace, what advice would you give them?
That's a great question. I feel like authenticity is key. Come to the table, not only as your true authentic self, but also understanding the authenticity that your people can bring to the table. Don't come to the table with a sense of entitlement. Take a step back and truly be an active listener. And active does not only mean listening with your ears, as you so eloquently stated, and using all of your senses. There is a book called Her Leader as a Mensch. I have it in here somewhere. And it talks about the different areas of leadership and the different aspects. And I would warn individuals, while it is important to understand who you are as a leader, how you define yourself as a leader through those different areas, that you're not, more than likely, you're not the one topic that you are defining yourself. So if that's servant leader, if that's transformational leader, you are probably at least three or four of those things. And the reason why I say that is because the world evolves, an organization evolves, and more than likely you are going to have to evolve. Mm. You can't stay stuck in one subject area or one topic. So when you are reading books, actively read and understand how you might have to be agile between the different leadership styles, but then also understand that you need to actively listen. You need to be authentic, in my opinion, and take 5,000 steps back. What you think you're coming into, it more than likely is not always where you will end up.
Oh, Shitomi, I could sit and chat with you about this and everything else all day. I just, you have a wealth of knowledge to give, and I just cannot tell you how much we appreciate you giving it to our podcast and to our listeners. So
I say thank you for even asking me and having me. I mean, this is a prestigious team. Let me tell you, Ray, Bree, Dewey, a shout out to all three. Oh. But you all are awesome. And especially you, Bree, I have gotten to know you and I'm like you. If I was in Colombia, where would we be hanging?
Yes. Well, we will be coming to Kansas City soon for Nell.
Yes,
so we will
right.
be seeing you soon. I cannot wait. But
awesome.
Shitomi, I'll just ask you any final thoughts or anything else that you'd want to add before we sign off for today.
I think intentional leadership is important. I appreciate you talking about it, broaching the topic, because exactly what you said as far as inclusive leadership is a part of that intentionality. Mm. And just thinking of that and taking that top of mind when you navigate the world. And again, just because your subject or your position or your title does not maybe imply a leader, understand that whatever you're doing in life, you're taking some type of leadership role.
Absolutely. Well, Shitomi, I cannot thank you enough again. And I hope that this weekend that life is well and that you have some more dance parties this weekend.
Yes, we will.
Shitomi and I like to converse over our mom time of life here. So there's lots of fun dance parties that happen in our households.
That's
so
right.
To our listeners, thank you for your time, for listening to these episodes, and we hope that you'll come back for more with next week's episode as we continue to talk about really this leadership horizons and how to really create those kind of future-ready teams. And so until then, thank you and have a great rest of your day, and to steal it from Ray, go be great!
And that's a wrap, folks. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Weekly Workplace. We hope you've been inspired, equipped, and ready to tackle whatever challenges come your way. But before you go, remember, the journey to success never stops. Keep grinding, keep growing, and keep striving for greatness. And hey, if you want to stay ahead of the game and never miss an episode, make sure you hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications. Don't forget to leave a comment and let us know what you thought of today's show. Your feedback fuels our fire. Also, show us some love by liking and sharing this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and fellow go-getters. Together, let's spread the knowledge and empower more professionals to reach their full potential. For even more tools and resources to elevate your career, check out the Missouri Training Institute. So until next time, keep hustling, keep learning, and keep dominating the workplace.